is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
We have plenty for stories because there's also just life, Kissel.
There's always life.
Because the thing about life.
There's not always life, actually.
No, you
it's
do
mostly
die.
Death.
Yeah. That is true. I realized this. I was journaling the other day and I realized that I wrote that down. You're old a lot longer than you're young.
Well, I don't think you're ever really old, though, because even if you die at 90, it's nothing.
That's true because, yeah, if you're here as we walk these streets, right, and you see, like, just this hotel we're in right now is, like, 900 years old, mm-hmm. which is why, like, when I sleep at night, and it is true, it used to be a school for the deaf.
It is.
You do hear the children cry when you're trying to sleep, but then I actually think maybe someone's just getting plowed next door.
It's very possible. Also, that's the nice thing about being one of the children. You don't get to hear the tears, do you?
No.
So welcome to the show, everyone. This is Side Stories. I'm Ben, hanging out with Henry. Wow. We want to thank everyone who's come out to the shows. The shows have been fantastic.
They've been
and
so good.
Fun.
So good. So we did a little like mid-tour stop off. So we were in Dublin and Dublin was fucking awesome. We got to go to this
like
after the show, we got to go to this place called the Hacienda where you had a knock. And then it was like a man that basically he looked like a friendlier version of Jimmy Savile.
He did. Yes. Which is actually Jimmy Savile did look quite friendly. So could we trust him? Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point. He hid in plain sight with a smile. It was a crackling smile, but it was a smile.
I mean, he always looked like a jack-o'-lantern to me. I thought he was very frightening as a person, Jimmy Savile. But everyone kind of thought, well, he's a bit old, but that's nice about him. Right. But then the guy opened it up and it was awesome. We got to have some drinks and it was fun. And I remember the guy, the owner, he was like, "You see, I have refused thousands."
He was very proud of that.
He was very proud. He was very proud. And that was really fun. But the next day.
But the first thing he did ask as soon as we showed up was, "How long are you going to be here?" Which reminded me when I went to go see with Ed Larson, our boy Eddie, listen to Brighter Side, when we went to go see Don Rickles. And the first thing a person said as soon as they sat down was,
"How long's the show?"
"It's not going to be that long because Don Rickles is also in his 80s, buddy. Yes. It's not going to be 5 effing hours."
He's covered in tombstone dust.
It's just nice when we show up, people for some reason want to know how long.
How long will you chug?
Okay.
But the next day we went to Liverpool, right? Because we wanted to check it out. Because again, I wanted to see, we've been reading about these time slips on Bold
Home
Street.
Of the Beatles.
We know that for certain because everybody's, which also feels a little pedantic because people keep saying stuff, being like, "So you're here for the Beatles tour?" And we're like, "No, we're here to get hammered."
We're here to get absolutely hammered. And you know it's home of the Beatles because outside of the airport in Liverpool, there's one of the rustiest yellow submarines you could ever imagine.
It does.
And it doesn't say Beatles on it. It doesn't really look like a submarine.
It looks like the yellow submarine they used to fight the Nazis in World War II.
But that lets you know it's the home of the Beatles. It also makes me realize why they left.
You know?
But it was fun.
It was truly a lovely town. We had a great time. We went down Bold Street. I didn't experience a time slip, but we did go out, right? So
can I just say this? When it comes to time slips, you know me. I'm looking on the bright side.
Sure.
I'm trying to believe.
Yes.
After 12 hours in Liverpool, seeing the amount of just raging alcoholism and the drug use, which is great.
It's fun.
Very happy for them. We're slightly too old for it, but it seemed like even the old people were still young there. I don't believe it. Because I don't think anyone is sober enough to experience anything extraterrestrial.
When you go down the street, as you go down each down separate corners, you could see like there's like psychedelic music coming out of the shops or people dressed like, I guess it's also very like stylish.
Very cool. Very pretty.
Dresses in the 1960s. Everybody looks very cool.
Yes.
But yeah, you can kind of see half drunk. Maybe you go down an alleyway and you are transported
to a vintage shop. But then you're like, ooh. But it's 1960.
You're loaded with the time traveling fuel that is Carlsberg, which really does help. But I will say
grape
that
beers,
night,
grape beers.
As we were walking around, so first of all, we had a lovely bartender at this place. We stopped at Teddy's, right? And we got there like 9 p.m. or whatever. Yeah. And we were like tired from the road and we were drinking. And like we asked the person, be like, "Oh, so when this place closed down?" She's like, "Oh, you're very early. You're here for, you can be here to far, far, T5. We're all like, "Holy fucking shit, that's super late." All right. But I didn't see I didn't know, like, who'd be out that late, right?
It was a Berlin-like experience because in Berlin, we were finishing up the show and we talked to our tour guide at the time. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, the club's going to be great." We're like, "We'll go right after the show." He's like, "You fucking morons.
You goobie.
You don't show up till 3 a.m. We're like, "What?
You do not even go to the club until 2 a.m. We're like, I'm tired.
I'm exhausted, sir.
But at the end of the night, when we finally found an old man bar, it was great. We had a couple of, you know,
meals. We were something like that.
Wrapping up the night, 11:45 to go to sleep. The town becomes filled with drunk children.
You know, I can't, because I went to go give one speech at a university, and I believe the person that booked me got fired for booking me.
Sure.
But they are all, I couldn't tell if they were 16 or 24.
I don't know.
They were so young.
They
one
were
guy,
young.
We were walking, it was like maybe 9:30, and he's horking on the side of the street, and his buddies were like, man, you got to stay awake. Not because they were going to take him home. I think they were like, don't ruin this night for us, dude.
Yeah,
because
we have to take you back.
If you fucking go to bed, you're just going to sleep here on this corner.
But it felt like we got transported to where Pinocchio went, where all the children turned into donkeys.
It really was.
It was just them all like no clothes on. And I never felt
cold.
I felt like a fucking high school principal. Where I've been like, you need to be back in your goddamn homes. But no, honestly, but otherwise,
great,
what a lovely surprise. Well, and I will have to eat some crow, which I do think I did eat in Edinburgh.
Oh.
But we had a great meal at the Papillon in Liverpool. The food
has been
bad.
Really good. And for what I will eat a little bit of crow myself, I say warm beers all around. I think they figured out refrigeration during COVID.
Yeah.
Something happened where they're like, what if we just make this shit cold?
Yeah, what if we make it so it's good?
And then they did.
Yep.
And so I've been quite happy, but I was a little bit concerned going to Liverpool because it was closest for the WWE fans, you know, about the plane ride from hell. It was like but much tamer because we had to sit in a seat. The seat I couldn't even fit in. It was the first time I had used an extender seatbelt, not because I was too fat, but because I couldn't get the seatbelt. It didn't physically fit.
It was tight for me. I was stuck in there like a little grape. Yeah.
And so as soon as the plane takes off, all of these dudes storm what I think is the cockpit, but they're going to get drinks and going to the bathroom. It's a 32-minute flight.
It was
nuts.
They
were the loudest drunks ever. I'm like, where are we going, dude?
Well, the whole time I thought, I was like, oh, great. So our whole night's going to be getting into fights because two guys were like, is your buddy here? Is he here for the footy match?
Oh, my God.
Look
at
he's big. That guy right there, he's big. And I was just like,
I was getting eyed up all over the place. They were like trying, and it's like, it's fine. I'll bonk you. I'll bonk you in the head. I don't want to do this, though. I'm a foreign man in a foreign land.
No. We go to big time jail.
Yeah, because they're going to believe you're broken English motherfucking ass. And I'm going to be like, I was just trying to defend myself. They're like, get over here, monster.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, I'm in some kind of weird exhibit where they're displaying my bones like they just killed the world's largest American.
But this is why we got to start double teaming people where you attack them from up top and I go and take their wallets. I sneak around like Fagin. But another thing, now that we're here in UK, we are surrounded by UK news and the main story here.
You're doing some bad stuff.
Things are fucked up. Number one, though, I will say, UK's Strongest Man competition is alive and well, and it's fantastic. Look up Big Red. Red from the UK Strongest Man competition. He's 30 years old. He looks like a fucking ent. I have no clue where they make these people. This man is fucking, there is no reason for him to look that. He looks like Aragorn's the country cousin.
Oh, that's incredible.
He's 30 years old. Look up. He's crazy.
Big Red.
He's
strong,
huge
man.
Oh, they're very, very big.
Wow. He's very strong.
He's 30.
Well, you know, there's something about having that much muscle on the body that makes you look like you're a 55-year-old fantastic stepfather. Mm. Wow, he's only 30.
Yeah,
holy
man.
Shit.
That's what I'm saying.
That guy. Well, this is something. Now, don't feel jealous, though, because he's going to look, well, no, because women seem to like that.
They do, but
I think
also,
he's going to be just fine.
I think the strong men don't live long lives, to be completely frank. It is a very stressful job. It's very difficult. You can see them bleeding out of their eyes and shit.
I know that they do have to decrease the muscle at some point because so much muscle can actually be inhibitive of the heart and the blood flow.
Yes.
So, yeah, take that.
Yep.
Gym rats.
That's why the Brontosaurus all died out.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult for them to maintain their diet. But the other big piece of news has been this Lucy Letby case here.
This is freaking nasty.
First of all, I did not know how long these trials go for. This trial they're saying it's going to be at least 6 months. So for those of you that don't know, Lucy Letby a nurse that is being accused of murdering seven babies.
Yes, and she attempted to kill 15 more, I believe, which also, like, how'd you mess that up? But not to be too blue there, it's a very disgusting story. But going back to your previous question about the average age of a strong man, 47.
Wow.
See? Isn't that crazy?
Hey, man. So again, you got to earn it in this life.
40. I'm going to say this. Stop.
I don't know.
Put the boulder down.
I feel like there's something simple in just wanting to be the most strong mind. Like, how simple is that? You go up every day, but your whole thing. It's like, we used to say, oh, I want to be the funniest guy in the world. And you realize that sucks.
Oh, horrible. The funniest guy in the world is also about perception. So it's like, who is it right now? Well, it's probably Fluffy, to be honest. And we love Fluffy.
In terms of by quantity of humans that have seen him, yes, it is Fluffy. But also, it's stuff like, you know, we asked our producer, Fernando, you know, like, oh, we were talking about like comedy idols. Fernando doesn't like Chris Farley. That shows you nothing is universal.
This is why we need to change our interview process of how we hire, because that needs to be question number one. However, now that I think about it, I think that's why Fernando is so great at his job.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's not trying to, you know, rub salad dressing all over his head and call himself the human salad, which is what Chris Farley did on a regular basis. If you did it once, I say, Chris, kind of funny. But then it was a bit.
It was his bit.
And I would say, come on. Because Norm MacDonald, we'll get to some news, but I watched an interview with Norm, and he said the first time he met Farley, he dumped salad dressing on his head, and then he turned around, he had a tomato
in his ass. Yeah, I remember
that. So there you go. Comedy was different then.
It was.
Or is it the same?
I don't know. I feel like we miss some of that energy nowadays. We do.
Agree.
But Lucy Letby, she was working at Countess of Chester Hospital, and she believed that, so she's being accused of murdering these babies. Now, the thing is, they're saying she's dropping the hot shot in. Mother came in and quote unquote interrupted her pulling a line out of a baby's throat. Like they had intubated the baby and the baby was screaming. The mother was obviously very distressed. Lucy Letby was like, trust me, I'm a nurse. 5 days later, the baby died.
Yes.
Now the big controversy is that there has been seen these notes that she was drawing and writing during the trial.
Right.
We're saying stuff like how I am evil. I did this, how no one will ever love me. I'll never have a baby. I'll never have a family. And then I killed them. She basically says straight out, I killed them because I couldn't take care of them. Her lawyers are now trying to backpedal.
Yeah, I think her lawyers are going to have a little bit of an uphill battle here when it comes to Lucy Letby. I mentioned her name on stage just a few times, and our audience, obviously very used to true crime. This story, let's say it's hitting pretty close to the heart.
Oh, it does.
And many people are like, this is public enemy number one. This is Casey Anthony times literally seven.
Yes, I'm times seven. But
there's something again about a nurse. They're supposed to save lives, especially during COVID, front lines. Now, this all took place in 2015, 2016. But, you know, we were talking nurses. We love the nurses. We truly do love the nurses.
We do.
So to take that position and then use it to murder babies.
It's intense.
It's about as bad as it gets.
But, you know, this is my one devil's advocate stance.
You're going to choose it. You get one devil's advocate card a year. Guys, this is when you want to use it.
This is my one stance.
Are you going to defend Lucy Letby?
Absolutely. It's not defend, right? It's what if she also happens to be the world's worst fucking nurse? But I mean, besides being evil, what if she's just a fucking moron? Because think about this. In medical school, the bottom of the class that graduates still gets to be a nurse. You still get to be a doctor. How many nurses, when Marcus was going through his long COVID shit, how many of these nurses, he straight up said didn't believe COVID was real, said like, you know, saying weird, like anti-vax, like conspiracy theory shit. Yeah, it was like intense, right? So again, all these nurses I know, Natalie's mother's a nurse who was brave, who fucking, you guys all hustle and work real hard.
Yes.
But y'all know in your industry, who sucks,
but I'm saying,
and who needs to be like, I bet you in every hospital, there's always one person that you have to like, let me just go double check what that person did. I'm just going to go, like, the good nurses will go and kind of like, let me just check because that person is like now maybe put on the night shift. They've moved them from the day shift.
That's what happened with Lucy Letby. She was on the night shift and like, they're like, all these babies are dying, including a set of twins. And they're like, that's weird.
Yeah, it's bad.
Let's move her to the day shift. And then they're like, all these babies are dying during the day. It seems like the night baby's doing good. So she was pretty blatant with it. I'm going to go out of my way though.
Think about how quickly you were fired from Burger King.
Oh, 2 months.
But you know what I mean? Like,
it was, again, injecting a chicken tender with barbecue sauce and ketchup.
And this is,
it was incredible.
Not unlike that, where it's against the rules to do that, right?
She didn't inject them with ketchup. But I'm going to say pushback, point, counterpoint. She actively did this. Like a bad nurse, I think, is like, I'm on another sandwich. Yeah, fuck you. I'm not going to turn you over.
Negligence. Yeah.
Negligence. This took effort. She would also, she just injected people with air or babies with air, which I didn't realize. Why are people even wasting any money on syringe drugs? I guess you could just go pump someone with an ounce of, with air and they die.
Truthfully, we're about to, they're going to start putting out the medical evidence because we are in that hazy middle ground where they're trying to, because, you know, her team, her defense team is basically saying what I'm saying, which is, what if she's just bad at it? Right. What if she's just yeah. real bad at it and she loves babies, but you know what? I love basketball. You know, you're going to put me out there. You know what I mean? You're going to be.
I don't know if this is going to really work out for them.
I don't think so either. But I'm excited. Excited. Is that the word? I'm interested to see what evidence is comes out about, like, how do we know? Because, like, let's see. Like, because she said that she killed one of the babies using insulin. And the other one said they're using a hot shot. Using, you know, putting the air in the lungs. So, you know, and if she's guilty, you know, string it up.
I right? mean, she's definitely going to have a not very sympathetic prison life, I would not assume.
Well, but you know,
I
they don't put know. Him,
this is they definitely...
put these, especially now because what we know about Rose West and Myra Henley and all these types, especially over here, they just, they get put them away.
I mean,
they
go, to be honest
they
with
go
you,
into deep isolation.
As we know in prison, if you like know how to read, you're like the lawyer now.
Yeah.
So she probably will be able to use her nursing skills
for something.
In some ways in prison.
Look
but anyway,
Bernie Madoff did all those guys' taxes.
We'll keep on following that story. It's huge in the UK. I'm not sure if it's made. We haven't been in the States to tell if it is if it's big over there, but it seems like it has international possibilities.
I mean, it's a horror story. Like this idea. I mean, again, if she is indeed an angel of death, it is. It's just the look on her face,
yeah, but
too.
An
it's
an angel
spacey.
Of death is. It would not be angel of death, though, because these babies have their whole lives ahead of them.
No,
angel
I know.
Of death is like they're 88. Well, they're not sure. Doing very good.
No, but, you know, just again, that's kind of what the category she'd be in.
I
sort
guess.
Of. That's what they'd say is that she, because a lot of the babies were very sick that she was dealing with.
I think but, they were sick because of her.
But it's just the look on her face. That's the most damning thing of all. It's her showing the big spacey eyed smile with the tiny little baby shirt.
She's so vanilla looking.
Oh,
that
yeah.
also makes it really scary. Which is why with Annabelle, I think they could have just made the doll the Raggedy Ann doll.
We've talked about this.
But
a
I think
long
there
time.
Was some legal rights to the Raggedy Ann doll.
Well, I always believe the idea when they start in horror movies when they make the cursed thing look too creepy. We're like,
doesn't really work.
It's better when it's innocuous.
Live from your grave.
Well, speaking of innocuous and updates, a jury has convicted the man that we covered a few months ago who fucked the Elmo doll.
Justice has been served.
Hey, so what are you in for? You know that toy Tickle Me Elmo?
Yeah, well, I want to just... fuck it. I want to fuck it. I want to fucking push it down. I want to gape it. I want to fuck its mouth.
So Kevin Van Leeuwen, 60 years old, he was found guilty. Apparently, it's only a misdemeanor. He's got to pay a $2,000 fine, maximum 2 years in prison. It was a home inspection. No people were hurt, which is great, but it was just disgusting. I was hurt as well, and our show was hurt. The content was hurt. This isn't the content we love to use or have.
It, honestly, it is.
Well, given to us.
It's fantastic for us content-wise, but I just mean in terms of society. I think it does hurt.
So, again, just long story short, the family was like, what's going on at our house? Let's go check in and see what this dude's doing, because he was a home inspector. And then they found him jerking off with the Elmo doll, and they're like, well, that's kind of strange.
Hey,
so then he was arrested.
He still defends himself by saying, I never penetrated it. And then I just rubbed it on. I rubbed it on me. Honestly, in a way, it was almost like, what was Elmo thinking?
Yeah.
Tickle me, Elmo. That's what
right.
it is. That's what's fucked up about it. It's not like, hey, you should tickle Elmo, or you know, ask Elmo if it wants to be tickled. It's Elmo dying to be tickled by whoever stranger just walks past.
Well, the police did report that Van Leeuwen admitted to, quote, placing his penis in Elmo's mouth, in the doll's mouth. And then he apologized and said he was, quote, ashamed. So he was, but so that's good. So he, I just don't, what
not
a day.
Not feeling good.
What a day. Also, right. The Elmo, I feel like Elmo just might need to go on the back burner for a while, because I believe the man who played Elmo, voiced Elmo, also banged like a lot of teenage boys.
I feel like that's
there's
another,
a whole thing. I don't know about all that scandal.
It's complicated.
Anyway, Elmo just has a lot going on.
I feel that Elmo in, just give him, you know what we should bring back up? Where's Gonzo?
Bring Gonzo.
Where's Gonzo?
Love Gonzo.
I miss Gonzo. And also, if you're going to stick your dick in something's mouth, it's got that hook-shaped, like, nose thing, you could put your dick right through there, and you won't have to come through it at all. Yep.
That's, I've seen some of these devices they use.
Now,
oh, also, do you want to do one more update on the Stockton serial killer?
Of course, absolutely. Yes. So we got right here, Wesley Brownlee has been arrested as the Stockton serial killer. Well, you know, he is suspected by it. It is interesting because he was caught by tip, and they caught him mid-stalk.
This is really scary.
And they caught him dressed in black. He had a mask on, just like he was in the surveillance video that was put out, and he had a gun on him, which was one of those guns that you can just assemble. Have you heard about this thing where you basically go and you buy a kit and then you put it all together yourself? It's fucking,
it's like that Johnny Cash song where he put the car together one piece at a time after stealing it slowly over the years as he was an employee. The one thing I have to say about this, if you use the same disguise every time you commit the crime, it's no longer a disguise. Now it becomes a mitigating factor in your arrest. So if you're going, I'm not giving tips out there.
No, yeah. But each, mix it up.
Mix it up.
Now you're the clown shooter. Next time you're the pirate shooter, you know?
Because otherwise the cops know exactly what you look like.
Always.
And then the point of a disguise is now gone.
It's gone. Right. But I do think in a way he wanted to be a Son of Sam style killer. I think he wanted to be caught. He wants to be known. He's still accused. We're going to find out, but there's a lot of glaring evidence here. They believe that ballistics connect the gun. They think it was one gun that did all the crimes, and they believe it was the gun that he had in his possession. They do say that Chicago, so we, as we put out the episode, there were several people who sent this, like, there was this other opinion that there was this weird Chicago shooter that was seen with a weird staggered walk.
Yeah.
They said that might have, like, he was kind of like a mosey. I'd even put it towards a mosey.
Yeah.
And they think there were some people trying to connect the Stockton killer to that killer, but their cops are in Chicago are saying that they are not connected right now.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of a Jack the Ripper situation. Where,
but, you know, it is crazy that I wonder who tipped them off. Like, how did they tip him off so directly? Because they said they found his apartment, they knew it was him, and they watched him the entire night. They watched him leave the apartment. They followed him when he
went. The citizen did?
No,
the cops did.
Cops did after. Right. But it all came from a tip. And they said they got hundreds of tips as soon as they put out the surveillance video. I wonder how they chose that one.
Do you ever fantasize, like every time as a kid you watch, America's Most Wanted or something, ever fantasize about it being like your neighbor?
I always do.
And then it would be like, oh my God, it's Mr. Robinson.
I'm trying to make it one of my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be, you know me.
But then it's also very scary.
I know. No, I want to investigate. Eventually I will be a private investigator who is very public.
People will not see.
I love to do it. It's a hard job.
That's like retiring and getting into the restaurant business.
No.
You don't want to be a private investigator.
My father and I have talked about it. He's still like, you know, right now he's not
in the
state to do it.
He just wants to sit in a slightly more comfortable seat.
It's fun. But I think about this, about like, I'd love to go. I test myself. What I try to do is when I walk down the street and I see somebody, right? I scan them, right? And then I try to remember details about them later on.
You're profiling them.
Yeah. No, any race.
It's called No, I know. I'm not saying it's a racial profile. No, I'm saying you're profiling.
Yeah, as we should. H1 should be profiled. We should live in our own, like, don't let the government surveil us. Surveil ourselves. And it's important because if you want to find out how tall somebody is, you got to put position posts, or you stand real close to them.
Right,
you stand up real tall and you see how far their head is compared to the top of your
course,
head.
You always travel with your measuring tape and your shoe size measure and all of those sorts of things.
No, if I could stop a serial killer, I'd quit doing the show. I'd just go back. I'd be a crime buster.
It would be better if you stayed.
Yeah, but I'd go back. I'd join. I would.
Then we would have the carte blanche to actually do this.
Let me ask this question. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. If I just catch a serial killer on my own, do I just get to become a homicide detective?
You should be able to at least get a badge like Herschel Walker had. You should at least get an honorary.
At a fucking Halloween store.
Now I have a badge. What is wrong with our country?
I have badges in my home.
It is fun to watch the American news from across the pond.
Oh, there.
Because, but they're fucked over here too, so I don't feel so bad.
Whatever. All they eat is beans here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of robberies, which I'm not sure if we were, but now we are, so I'll say speaking of robbery.
Robberies?
There's this dude. Did you see this in Florida? This guy robbed a bank with a finger gun, got $120, but they still arrested him for armed robbery.
Hey, man.
It was a finger robbery at most, but he wasn't armed.
It's all about perception. And he showed us. The problem is that they really did this to nip this in the bud. Because if everybody's fingers can turn into guns, No one is safe ever.
It's like that scene from Mr. Bean with when he messed up with Whistler's mother, but he had this whole thing, put down the gun, but it was a finger gun. And he put down his hand.
Yeah, I remember.
Which was funny.
I was walking on the street in Manchester yesterday and I heard like, oh, you want a fucking gun? What are you, a fucking American? To somebody, they want guns.
It's the thing when you travel, you do find yourself defending guns sometimes.
Well,
because again, the Liverpool maniacs that we were on the flight with, I was like, if there was an air marshal up here, they would have all been hogtied.
Well, yeah, they don't live in fear. So they fight.
Fear is needed.
Yeah, I know, but you can still get your face slashed open. You get glass and shit.
I know, but I'm just saying there's not the same amount of fear that the gun instills. Not that I'm saying I'm in favor of it. It does change human behavior, however.
It does.
So this dude.
No, I didn't realize how scared we were in America until we got here.
In constant fear, yeah. This dude just walked in, he had his hand under his shirt. And then he made a finger, then he made a shape of a gun with his finger. And then he's like, don't push any buttons. He only got $120.
Well, because you have to act like it's a gun. The second time I was mugged, it was from a guy with the finger gun in the shirt. But you have to act like it's, my dad always basically told me, you have to act like it's a gun. Because if it is a gun, he'll fucking shoot you. But if not, and then the dude punched me in the stomach. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so he made $120.
That's a power of perception that shows that performances can really equalize things in this life. It's all about be the robber you want to be to other people.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I'm his lawyer charged with armed robbery, I say, well, then all of us, aren't we all carrying guns now? Aren't you, jury?
And then
the jury, don't you all have two guns on you right now then, jury?
Technically, it's handed robbery.
It is.
That's funny.
It is good.
Isn't that funny?
Very nice.
Let's talk about the story. Now, there is... I might have gotten fooled by an ARG, but I don't really care because it's really fun. And it's good... Spooky things, spooky times, right? Giants. I'm here with one.
Mm-hmm.
Not
technically.
No. Actually, you're still not.
What is technically a giant? Is it over? It's got to be over 7 feet.
It has to be.
We didn't have a chance to tour the Leprechaun Museum in Dublin. No, we're not being racist.
It was a 60-minute random, like, mandatory tour, and I was just, I kind of just needed to do it in 15 minutes.
Which is so Leprechaun of them. 60-minute mandatory guided tour. But I think it has to be like 7'2" or something to be a giant. And then gigantism is actually a thing, Andre, the giant.
When is someone considered a girlfriend? That's the first thing that popped up. Very sad. It's really, really sad. 7 feet.
That's it.
Yeah, you're nowhere near, though. Those 5 inches are important. Yeah. That's what I tell. That's what I
got them in my pants. Wife. A solid 5 inches right there. I'll cut it off, put it on my head. Technically, that's still me.
Yes, it is.
He's a dick giant. Oh my God, he's got a cock. He's a cock giant.
All right.
Anyway,
so giants.
On.
Now, this was this guy by the name of Andrew Dawson, right? He's under Andrew Capt on TikTok. He filmed what appeared to be a giant, like human looking dude, right? At the top of Whistler's Peak Mountain in Canada, right?
Oh, speaking of Whistler's, very nice.
No, it was really fucking cool. It's a cool little video. It might be fake, which is fine. I looked it up and some people are saying that it's fake and obviously
if it looks good, I'll take it.
Yeah, I love it.
That's kind of how I am with it. It's like, all right, it could be fake, but if it's whatever, just give me something.
Give me something. It's just fun to do. It's fun to look up. But so he went and he saw this giant and then he filmed it and it went viral on TikTok. And then it proceeded to get weirder and weirder from there because he kept trying to go back up to the mountain. And people, after he saw it, people like you have all these TikTok
videos.
They
start hunting the giant.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wanted to see it, right? He wanted to see its feet. And so people were turning him away on the road. He said then a weird government car stopped him as he was going back up to the mountain again to see if he can get a closer look at the peak. And they said, we were doing these environmental extracting, whatever that I mean, horseshit. It sounded like horseshit.
Okay.
And that you couldn't go up there. And he was like, that's fine. But then he showed videos of a car in front of his house saying that he was being tracked. He feel like he was being stalked.
By the giant?
Wanted to go talk to the car.
Because you know, the giant would probably drive a little car like that tall guy from The Simpsons, which is the only tall person representation in The Simpsons.
You know,
fantastic. Where's my fucking documentary?
I've been watching a lot of Simpsons here in the UK, and it's not good.
They love it here, though.
It's not good.
The Simpsons is just as big here as it was in the 90s.
Oh, yes. Very big. But so he goes to confront this car that's parked in front of his house and it peels off, right? So this ends the mystery.
That is scary, though.
Yes.
Anytime you look out, you're like, what are they doing?
But the dude then gets contacted by people that are concerned because he went dark on TikTok.
The guy who filmed the giant.
Yes. Went on dark on TikTok, and he was trying to say, hey, all of this shit is fake. I've been making it up. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm just letting you guys know this is all.
It's
like,
not your decision anymore, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You put it out in the Gen Pop.
I don't know. He was trying to say, like, you know, he was trying to roll it back. But then he put out another video saying he believed now that he was definitely getting, like, tailed by the police. And then he's saying that people are following him. And then he started getting really nervous, saying all the shit, like, you know, all that kind of shit. Men in Black, guys in weird government cars saying shit to him. But the thing that is the most mysterious of all, now I was trying to find out whether or not this website is real, is that the dude
called totallyfakenews.com.
Whoa. Wow. What? But I thought it was like the, I was like opposite.
Oh yeah.
The opposite.
Got it.
But he's fucking dead.
The dude who filmed the Bigfoot's dead now?
Yeah, so July 1st, 2022, they found he died. So
how,
they found
how
there's
did he
there
die?
Are death notices for this guy whose name is Andrew Ryan Watchhorn Dawson. Now, I might be, again, I might have been completely fooled, and I don't care because it's fucking, it is fun as hell. If it is real, then great. Anything that is breaking from reality. But it's Andrew Ryan Watchhorn Dawson, and there's an obituary in the Campbell River Mirror. Now, I looked this up. And
I love the Campbell River Mirror.
But
you're
going
to find out. You're going to find out all the news about soda pop. You'll find out all the news about different flavors of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
You wouldn't believe up-to-date jelly gummy bear news.
Oh, I love it.
There actually was gummy bear news recently about these world's hottest gummy bears that these TikTokers are eating, and then they're just throwing up violently. They deserve it.
No need for it.
They deserve it.
No, I know they do. If you eat it, you're going to get what you get.
But my thing is that if this is fake, this is an incredibly detailed fake in terms of his death. But you know, if you can find it, if you could, like, this is all from a website called theconfessionalspodcast.com. I don't know what else they cover or whatever, anything else, but
he wasn't like destroyed. Like, there wasn't like big giant teeth marks in him, or no, he wasn't like ripped to shreds.
No,
like a giant broke into his house or anything.
It says colon cancer. It says nothing. It says November 4th, 1987 to July 1st, 2022.
Oh, he was young.
It says in loving memory, loving husband, father, uncle, brother, and son.
Wait, he was born in 87?
87, yeah.
And he already had kids and stuff?
Oh, yeah. You can have kids at fucking 13, bro. You can just see him. Look at what we just saw. All of the literally.
Liverpool,
like, you just saw the generation of children that are all just about to get pregnant and their lives are over.
Seriously, it looked like Birthright. Those people were out there and you could tell those were the best moments of their life. And I agree. We walked near at least 10% of the women we walked by, that's the last night they won't be pregnant.
Yes,
because that night they bred.
That
but that's very interesting. Wow. And so we'll keep you updated on all the giant news as we see it here on Side Stories. I would say colon cancer is a possibility because I think if I saw a giant, I would not shit at all for whatever because I would literally be too scared.
And you know what? If he did die, not in connection to any of this, let's say it's all fake and he made this up, but then he did die of unforeseen circumstances. Dude, you did it.
You
made one mystery in the world, and that's really all you can really hope for, especially in the world of the paranormal. I mean, you could also live.
I mean, that's what you wish
for. And write a book. Yeah, that would really be nice. But here, I'm looking up all these different updates because then, he has died. They just, no one has any fucking clue. Nobody has any fucking clue.
It seems suspicious to me. Well, speaking of death, there was that one story we covered on last podcast about Charles Manson and his followers. So it's funny.
Oh,
it's
not funny,
but, you know, it's strange to think, you know, it wasn't that far long ago the crime was committed and there's people still alive.
1969.
Like, 1969. Patricia Krenwinkel.
Like 60 fucking 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, but they're still alive. Patricia Krenwinkel. She was up for parole, but then Gavin Newsom said she still poses an unreasonable danger to society.
I mean,
if paroled
you know.
At this time, I'm not going to go on the limb. I'm not going to cry for this woman.
Yeah, she could stay in jail. But
she's 70. I mean, at this point, she probably loves it. What are you doing, knitting shit? She's 74.
What would she do outside of jail?
Yeah, and I think that the sister of the main gal that was murdered there, Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
I think she still goes to all of the
she should.
The
yeah,
parole hearings. So anyway, that's just an update that keeps on updating with the Manson family.
And we were talking
Krenwinkel will not be out. And you know,
Marcus and I were doing all the various like spooky tourism when we were in Edinburgh. Like, you know, went to Greyfriars Kirkyard as we always do. And we loved, like, you know, we had such a good time. But that was like we were kind of lamenting, which being like, man, Charles Manson had any fucking balls he would have let his body be put on tour.
I know.
I would have showed up at every location. We would have opened for him.
He should have stuck with Star. The fact that he was like, nah, she just wants me for the money. It's like, yeah, buddy. She doesn't want you for the charm. You're Charles Manson. You're in prison. What the fuck are you talking about?
You've become such an incoherent gremlin that you should just be happy she might even touch your old dick and balls through the fucking hole in your isolation chamber. Like, yeah, man, just get your tug and have your body. That was how he could have been immortalized, because now he's just in some unmarked prison grave and we can go piss on it. And it's really sad because that's our freedom. We should be allowed to go and gawk at his tanned corpse.
I agree.
And eating popcorn and going like, yeah, yeah.
You know, it would be just like when we go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we're like, everything's tinier than I thought.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because he's like, probably 4'11 at this point.
I walk past the Mona Lisa in the Louvre. It's small.
It's nothing.
It's just so small.
It's fine. I don't.
It's not. It's fine. Also, people also got all upset about the Van Gogh, like protesters. Right. People put paint on the Van Gogh.
It's covered in glass.
Yeah,
you just wipe the glass off.
I told us none of it matters.
Also, just don't waste the soup.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sad about the soup.
What's the soup got to do with it?
Yeah. Anyway. Van Gogh only, well, you know, he was sad.
Yeah.
It's really fucking sad.
Krenwinkel's still there. Is Tex Watson still alive? I think he's dead.
He's
dead. I think most of them are dead.
Yeah, I think the rest of them are dead. I think Tex Watson, I believe.
It's probably best that she stays there, because I don't want to see her podcast. I don't want to see like Krenwinkel's take, because she's not going to talk about true crime.
No.
She's going to talk about like politics. She's going to be like Krenwinkel's angle, and she's going to talk about the environment and stuff. And it's like, I don't need to hear her opinions on anything.
No, I don't want I don't want her on Rogan.
No.
She's Tex Watson still alive.
Is he really?
Yeah, look at that shit.
I had a chance to interview Diane Lake way back in the day. I think we also interviewed Diane Lake. He taught Diane Lake how to drive, and her experiences with Tex were great. I was like, you know?
I mean, that's why it's all those stories where people were like, Bill Murray was nice to me, or you were like Cosby. Yeah. Well, he was a funny guy. No,
let's not equate the two.
Cosby did say, Cosby was an asshole.
Oh, he's in every sense of the word.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes, he's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Well, speaking of assholes, just lastly, I don't stop shooting at people.
Please.
This story, these two dumb motherfucking dads, right? William Hale, he's 43, and this guy, Frank Allison. They got involved in a road rage incident, Henry Zabrowski.
Hey, I was talking about this with our road manager, Brian, about how, like, you know, Google uses your metrics, right? They can tell how fast you go and how fast you walk on the Google map. So it's like sometimes if you put like walking destination times, like if you walk faster than somebody else, they'll actually give you a short amount of time.
I'll get there in negative 5 minutes.
But I discovered that Natalie and I's Google maps are mine is always 15 minutes earlier than hers, because that must be how fast I drive.
And then mine is always slower because it has to be red for the accident that you caused.
Hey, that's all behind me, man.
I know.
Fuck you, dude. Fucking.
Like the penguin in the new Batman movie. Anyway, so these dumb fucking assholes were in a road rage incident with both of them had their daughters in the car.
Fucked up.
Calm down.
No,
okay?
Especially if you've got family in the car. I am a very different driver when Natalie is in the car versus when it's just Henry Zabrowski. When it's just Henry Zabrowski, I'm looking out for number fucking one.
They were brake checking each other. They were getting in front of each other.
Oh, God.
And then like,
I do this, though.
Such fucking bullshit. And then one of them took out his stupid gun and he shot the dude. But he didn't shoot the dad. He shot the guy's daughter. And then this dude's daughter's bleeding out. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go get him. So instead of going to the hospital, which you think you do, take a license plate down, you'll get him later, speeds up to the car and shoots at him.
Holy shit.
Then he shoots the other guy's daughter. So both of these daughters are just sitting there like, what the fuck are you doing, Dad?
Ow. It does sound like a Murder Fist sketch.
It's the dumbest thing. It's a 5-year-old girl. She was hit in the leg. And then the other girl was hit. She was a 14-year-old girl.
Where was this?
She was hit in the back.
What state is this?
This takes place in Nassau County. So I believe that's Jersey.
Whoa. Nassau County, Long Island?
Long Island. Yes, this is Long Island.
No shit.
I'm sorry, in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, right, that makes more sense. Yeah. Nassau County Sheriff's Office in Florida. So now they've both been charged with attempted murder of each other's daughters.
It's just,
what the fuck are these morons thinking?
Well, Nat constantly reminds me, you got to be careful.
You do.
You can't do it because people will shoot you. Like, they will. Really can't. You can't give anybody the
especially
finger.
Especially you, buddy. You got that soft top.
It's true. Yes. But also, it's why I wear Kevlar when I drive. But I also think horns are there for communication, right? Sometimes you got to give a toot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't lean on it. You just go, like just a friendly, like, hey, you need to turn here.
I've had the honk happen to me, and I look up. I'm like, yeah, what the fuck? I was looking at my phone.
Yeah. It's me just looking at like the fucking gilfs
and LA,
between my knees.
Always, that's what you do. But LA is, for some reason, people don't register the green light. It takes about 10 seconds. They're like, it's green now.
Because they're high as fuck.
It's possibly that. But anyway, be careful and don't get involved in road rage incidents. But especially if you're with your children in the car, what are you thinking? Someone in a truck threw a plastic bottle
at
the open window of the niece. I don't know what people do.
Fucking kids in the car. It's different if you're a consenting adult that wants to shoot some other consenting adult in the head. And I guess you guys all love it. And you can have each other.
Just
try
to make sure there's no other cars on the road. And you guys can go and do your little twisted metal death match.
Why don't you just kiss?
It seems like they may have wanted to.
Just fucking kiss.
It may be that.
There's one last story we'll get to. This takes place in the West Yorkshire town of Tingley.
Yeah, I love Tingley.
This is in 1980. This is a good, fun UFO story. So now, ooh, I guess there's a place called Todd Morden. God knows how it's called. Again, sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Feel free to tell me. We're learning more. We're learning.
Yeah, but then the more I learn, the more my contrary nature. Like, I was like, Edinburgh. And they're like, it's Edinburgh. And I was like, technically, Edinburgh sounds nicer. But like, it's Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, you
it's like, okay, I know, fine,
well,
thank
there,
you.
There, it's the same thing. It's like how I accidentally pulled out a pile of pounds when we were in Dublin. And as I went to go to the bar, Marcus grabbed my wrist and said, they will fucking stab you in the throat in this establishment if you fucking don't give. So you better not do that.
I've gotten, and I was right, and
I didn't even mean to. I just was fucking, I was like, this is how you learn.
I have gotten very few transactions right thus far. But that's fine.
Now, this is the story of Zygmunt Damski.
Ooh.
Now, he was 56 years old. He went missing from his home. Now, he left his house on June 6th to walk to the local shops, and he was never seen again alive. 5 days later, Adamski's body was found on top of a 10-foot-high pile of coal by a yard worker.
Weird.
Trevor Park. This is in Trevor Park in Todd Morden, 20 miles away from where he went missing. Now, there's many mysterious circumstances that was around his whole, like, everything. So he was missing for 5 days. He was wearing a suit, but when they found him, he was improperly, like, put together, and his shirt, wallet, and his watch were missing. They were gone. So maybe, again.
Yeah, robbery.
Robbery with an analingus, right? I don't know. Now, despite being missing, he was missing for 5 days. He had only 1 day of beard growth. They said that it just was weird. He was just gone for a long time. They don't know, maybe, we don't know what happened, right?
Even when you're dead, I guess the beard grows a little bit.
And his hair was cut. He was covered in burn marks. And then they said that he was covered in a gel that he couldn't identify. Again, I don't know whether or not he just met up with Lindsey Graham or they were just like, I don't know.
Can you fit your whole body inside me?
I don't know if it was a Todd Morden, in the Brambles. Once you get in the dark and everybody gets covered in suds. Next thing you know, you're switching wallets and you're cutting each other's hair and sucking each other's dick.
I don't know.
Can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up to, apparently, this town then became a UFO hotspot in Northern England.
Oh, cool.
It is all over. There are so many different stories that are attached to this. And there's a book written about it called The Pennine UFO Mystery that I do want to get into, but it's crazy because even now, to this day, people meet up at the Golden Lion Pub there for these UFO meetings.
I want to go.
People are more fun here with this shit.
They are more fun. Maybe, I think it's just older here. Too,
yeah.
Right? Anyway, well, that's awesome.
That's really just that story. Just the idea of just like going missing. It's just like, I love a mystery.
I don't want to end up on just a pile of coals.
No, I'm really trying to live my life so that I don't.
All right, everyone, let's do Hero of the Week. This is actually a Scottish nightclub. That's going to be Hero of the Week. Why, you ask? Well, it's because it is 100% powered from the heat of the dancers. This is, of course, the partygoers in Scotland. It has moved the venue. It has moved the venue to thermal energy.
It's disgusting.
So, a Scottish nightclub.
You're saying BO. It is fueled by BO.
Yeah. Nightclub. It has found it can reduce its carbon footprint by 70%.
So they're having all the fucking energy crisis here, right? They're having all the heating costs are going fucking sky high because their economy's falling to shit.
Mm-hmm. So they can reduce their carbon footprint by 70 tons per year, rather.
By and just holding each other's fucking gunk?
Well, it's the Glasgow Arts Venue, SWG3, and doesn't that sound fun to go to? The dancers from the people doing God knows what kind of dances, it can create 250 to 600 watts depending on how intense the music is.
Disgusting.
So
that is foul. He is not supposed to be like that.
So
no,
Town Rock, so the Town Rock Energy Geothermal designed the system, which they aptly branded as Body Heat.
Seriously, that is one of the grossest things I've heard in a while.
Well,
and I just saw the full Irish pizza that Papa John's had in Dublin.
Oh, God. So, according to this dude, David Townsend, he says, but if you've got a big DJ absolutely slamming bass lines and making everyone jump up and down, you can be generating 500 to 600 watts of thermal energy.
I don't know.
So this is just very impressive, and it's disgusting, but it's Hero of the Week. And I feel like they're also just going to really make sure that there's no air conditioning in the club. And it sounds like a horrible place to be. But anyway, isn't that interesting when it comes to combating your climate footprint there?
I would just love to do anything else. Why don't we just use candles? If you're going to do something, maybe that will help.
I'm just not quite sure. I just love the idea, especially in Glasgow, of the dance moves that would be required in order to generate this amount of...
Big knees up. Remember in Glasgow is when we went to that one, that club, that late night club, where it was just a bunch of elderly people in fluorescent lights. Mm-hmm. Dirty fucking just pubic bone on pubic bone grinding each other, cloaca to cloaca in a fucking... They were so... sexually charged.
Indeed, it costs £600 to make, or 600,000 rather. But the club said they're going to make it back. They have disconnected the gas boilers. And
what is weird though is that we are also in a turn. It is unseasonably warm here anywhere.
Glasgow, your little club there, SWG3, your Hero of the Week for making your people sweat.
Yeah,
fantastic.
All right, it's time for some listener emails.
Listener emails.
Now, a few years ago, a close friend of mine told me about this sleep paralysis creature she'd seen before. This was way before either one of us knew about the Hat Man phenomenon.
Ooh, okay.
Now, we've talked about the Hat Man phenomenon before. A lot of times people see these in a half-waking state, and there's some conjecture as the reason why we see these things like a hat man. It is because it is the brain anthropomorphizing shadows, right?
So we can figure it out.
But yes, we see people whenever we want to see. Whenever we want to see something, we try to see people, right? We were in the in Edinburgh, we did some cemetery tour, and there's this one poet had a weird stain in the back of his tombstone.
That was cool.
It does look like a screaming face, but again, we want to see faces. But that's kind of why
people see Jesus all the time in a cat's butthole or a cracker.
Yeah, and I'm always looking in there.
Always.
Every time I see a cat's butthole, I'm like, Jesus in there? Jesus in there? Now, she told me that during her sleep paralysis, she saw a slender, tall figure with a white, blank face who wore a black suit with a red lapel. That's very scary. Very spooky, right? I slept at her house all the time, 5 days a week, and somehow managed to not freak myself out. My imagination is very active, and I'm typically a really paranoid person when it comes to stuff like that, which is kind of fucked up considering how much disturbing media I constantly consume.
Fantastic.
Now, 4 months after her story, I was staying at her house and we were leaving for the beach in the morning. We had to go to sleep early. I was tossing and turning all night. I felt this insane restless energy and anxiety. The thoughts of the Hat Man were creeping in for the first time. but it's hard to tell if there was an entity keeping me awake and trying to get my attention, or if I was just paranoid and my brain was searching for trouble. Either way, I was wide awake. I turned to face my friend, but my eyes remained closed. I told her I couldn't sleep. She mumbled a little, "I'll be okay." I responded, "I'm glad I haven't seen the man yet."
Heller.
Never do that.
Okay.
My eyes fluttered open immediately after, and there he was in the corner. Mr. Bojangles.
Uh-oh.
He was supposedly always in. He was just as my friend had described, except he had a giant, sharp-toothed smile. Think Babadook. I was screaming and crying out, "There he is! He's right there!" He moved over to me in a cartoony, slinky way.
Okay.
He was levitating, standing directly over me, and as I was screaming so loud, mostly just, "No, no, 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 stop, stop, stop," until he seemingly jumped into my body. It felt like a snap back to reality when I realized I was lying face up with my back stuck in a hard arch.
Oh, my God.
The next morning, I talked about it with my friend. She told me that I said I couldn't sleep and that I was relieved I hadn't seen the Hat Man, rolled over and went to sleep.
All right.
It could be a dream, but it was very, very scary.
It's better than the Scat Man.
Because guess what? The Scat Man, he doesn't. In our world, he's covered in shit.
Absolutely.
I do have one. It's kind of a longer one. Should we wait? Should I wait for it? I have a good scary one, but I kind of like...
Let's wait.
Let's wait, because we're still ramping up. We got 2 weeks left of spooky times.
Yes.
We are, this week, we are doing a UK scary story update with Marcus Parks. We're going to do an FLS podcast, but we're rounding out Halloween season with a genuinely frightening...
Don't even say rounding out. It hasn't even started yet.
No, I know.
It needs to be 2 months long.
I know. I wish it was fucking a year long.
Why do we always tour during October? It's our favorite month in America.
Well, it's because it's a fun time to be here. You can feel the vibrant area. People are up there. They're dense in a boat, but we're not the only ones on tour.
No, we're not.
Page 7 and Wiz Brew are also hitting the road. They're on their release the hashtag butthole cut tour, which is about cats.
I love it.
Funny. The poster's really good. Pick up tickets right now. They are in Austin, November 17th. Dallas, November 18th. DC, in December. Philly, Brooklyn, Minneapolis,
awesome.
Milwaukee, Chicago, San Fran, and LA.
Woo.
Check it out. Go to page7.show. For all of your ticket needs.
You are going to love it. They are so fun.
It's very funny. It's going to be really awesome.
You get to see the other Zabrowski.
The other Zabrowski.
Absolutely.
Tiny little Zabrowski.
MJ, Holden, Jake, the whole crew will be there. Yeah.
And Jackie will get, if you get closer, she'll go like,
that's nice. Well, you're going to love the way that Holden makes, or that Henry makes
like
fun
this?
Of his
sister. Oh, you're starting it off. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to love the way I portray my sister, which is incredibly accurate, right? Because
no,
I lived with her for her entire life, right? I lived with her entire life, and I remember when she was even more evil and smaller, and when she was super cute and little, and no one fucking believed me when I said she was torturing me. Meanwhile, she was doing the Bill Murray thing of like, "No, never believe you." Where she was,
"I
like,
don't believe."
She hit me with things. She hit me things. It hurt me. She hurt me.
Good.
And then I couldn't get back, right? And then she'd just laugh. She'd be like, because you know what? Because it turned out she was on cocaine for her entire high school college, her entire high school career.
She got good grades.
That was the thing. And then I was accused of doing drugs because I didn't do homework, but I was very good at taking tests.
There you go.
And it's not about just being bitter and being a brother. It
seems about mostly that.
There's a goddamn double standard with siblings in this world.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. I'm going to see y'all down the road one way.
Yes, we'll see you on the road. Manchester. Yes.
We're here now. Right now, we're in Manchester.
London. Birmingham.
That's the other one. Birmingham.
Which we're dipping our toe in, and we'll see how it comes.
We went to Birmingham once.
Yeah.
Old Brum, call it.
The Old Brum.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Talk to you soon.
That's where Ozzy's from.
I wonder why he left.
I don't know. We'll find out.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.